Well, it'll be second base for Bo Bichette tonight. Yes, he is back in the lineup for the Toronto Blue Jays after missing the entire postseason thus far, rehabbing a knee injury.
Out at the beginning of September.
Yes, with the slide into home.
Are you concerned?
Nope.
Jostling with the lineup a little bit?
Nope.
Okay.
That is the least of my concerns for the Jays. Blake Snell. Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
Yamamoto, Glasnow, that's my biggest fear for the Jays, getting set for the World Series. Game one tonight, of course, you can hear it live on CJME and CKOM beginning at 6 o'clock with the Sportsnet Blue Jays Radio Network. Well, last time we had the CEO of Baseball Canada on, Jason Dixon, it was during a major baseball event. The national championship for baseball was being played in Regina, and we spoke to Jason, and back then we were like, man, what is the Blue Jays' little bit of a run here could possibly do for Baseball Canada? Well, here we are. They're in the World Series. Jason Dixon, former all-star pitcher himself in the major leagues, joining us. So welcome back to the Green Zone, or I guess I should say Blue Zone today, Jason.
I was going to say the Green Zone is the Blue Zone. It's got everybody thinking Blue Jays. I love it.
Yeah. So we were just reminiscing about the 92, 92. Today was the day the Jays won the World Series in 92. Yesterday was the Joe Carter home run. You were 19, not yet drafted, but very much an elite baseball player. Did that light a fire under you, like as an Ontario kid watching the Blue Jays win the World Series back in the early 90s?
Yeah, you know what? I remember those two series. I was in college at the time down in Oklahoma, and there were six or seven of Canadian guys that were on the team, and we were pretty fired up because that was our team and, you know, Canadians in the U.S. and just, you know, a good reason to be more Canadian than, you know, than we to be annoyingly Canadian. And then, of course, the Jays win it back-to-back year, so it was fantastic. But, yeah, definitely lit a fire. I mean, it was... you know, these are the guys that we kind of watched growing up and cheering for, and to see them win it all, it was a big deal.
So let's skip back to that sort of original question. With even just an appearance in the World Series and the fact that the entire country right now is captivated by, you know, this Blue Jays team, and it's a very likable team, is there a way for you to, I don't know, quantify is the wrong word, but does it have an immediate impact on what you do and baseball in this country?
Yeah, we'll see it in registration. I think when you go back to 92, 93, and even 2015, you know, and I know with other sports when, you know, Sid the Kid scoring some goals or the women's soccer team is winning, you know, we'll see that as an organization. I mean, I wouldn't say an immediate. I mean, you know, we're obviously in the height of it right now, and they've got more baseball Jays fans than, you know, you've had maybe 2 weeks ago. It's late October. We're still talking baseball, which is, you know, something not the norm. So that's positive. But, you know, it'll interest parents to putting their kids into playing baseball, and more kids will want to maybe try baseball. And we'll see that hopefully in the registration numbers next spring.
Yeah. How much are you guys having conversations in Baseball Canada going like, okay, yeah, this winter and, you know, going into spring registration, how can we help build some of this momentum that it's not just, okay, it's, you know, done November 1st, but on planning on trying to get this momentum to keep going through, of course, spring registration?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's really... any little blip, I guess, with the Jays is they start to do well, we will see a little bit of, you know, an uptick in interest and, you know, if there's some, you know, a talk or maybe a trade in the off season or some of these things. So you can imagine now with a World Series bid, I mean, you know, the city of Toronto is whipped up into a frenzy right now, and basically so is the rest of the country. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's, everyone's talking baseball right now. And not just the hardcore baseballers, but, you know, a lot of my friends who are, you know, maybe not full-on baseball fans, I mean, they're now jerseys and hats, and they're tuning into the game, and hockey's going to take a backseat for the night, and it's going to be all about the Jays tonight. So it's good. It's just keeping that momentum going, and then, you know, keep talking about it as the Jays go. And regardless of the outcome of this series, I think, you know, it's really just putting a spotlight on baseball, and it helps across the country for sure.
So 780 players in the major leagues of baseball. How many are Canadian, Jason?
24 we had 24 Canadians this year that were in the big leagues, and just under 100 in that minor league system, and then, you know, roughly 1,200 kids in college. So you can kind of see how that pyramid builds out. But we're starting to get some volume at some different levels. So, you know, we're getting more players there. But 24 guys were in the big leagues this year that were Canadian.
Jason Dixon joining us, the CEO of Baseball Canada, a former major league pitcher all-star in 1997. I'm going to tie your career into what we're about to see tonight, which is Treya Savage on the mound, young guy, 22 years old. When you were an all-star, you were 24. As a pitcher, how big of an advantage is it for Treya Savage, especially with his delivery, that the Dodgers have never faced him before? Like, was that something early in your career that you kind of found could have been an advantage, was people hadn't seen you before? So how big of an advantage is it for Treya Savage tonight that the Dodgers have never seen it?
It's a huge advantage. I think, you know, there was obviously less video to be seen, you know, when I played and they had some of the advanced scouting, but you know, there would be a lot of video on you, Savage, now, and I'm sure the Dodgers are tuning in and trying to figure it out, and their advanced scouts are doing the work. But, you know, until you see it live to really understand, you know, how much, you know, a sinker is sinking or a slider is breaking, I think it's a huge advantage for him. And, you know, I think that the big part is just, you know, stay composed in that 22-year-old body and not get starstruck or just, you know, get scooped too much in the moment and just stick to, you know, making good pitches pitch by pitch. But it's a huge advantage not to be seen. I mean, I think that's what happens all the time at the big leagues. Guys will have some early success and then people will see them and they'll make the adjustments. But it's a huge advantage for him tonight.
Can you speak to a little bit of what makes his delivery unique?
Yeah, you know, it's funny watching, because I think, you know, just that arm slot, you know, it's really, it comes out in a much higher slot. And I think
it's high, right?
You know, it is. And big league hitters kind of really, you know, I don't want to say for the most part, but it's the same concept as, you know, most guys are coming out of that same slot. If you were to, you know, have a guy that's lower sidearm, you have to kind of adjust a little bit and look for it. And I think Savage is on the other side of that's coming out of a little bit higher slot than they're used to, and that's maybe back to the first point, is okay, it's a little bit of a different delivery, plus I've never seen this guy before. Like, he may cruise through, you know, the lineup a couple times before they start to feel comfortable with him.
I'm curious about the Freddie Freeman story. So he represents Canada. His parents were Canadian, and he's spoken specifically about playing for Canada because of his mom. He lost his mom at a pretty young age, and he has represented Canada a couple of times. Is there, first off, what was your involvement in his participation? And also, do you see him coming back, because there's another big tournament in March in 2026?
Yeah, like, I think on the front end, as far as the involvement, obviously the story kind of really carried, you know, Freddie's desire to play for Team Canada. I mean, you know, that's a guy that's, you know, he could pick and choose where he wants to play, but, you know, his connection to Canada and playing for his mom who passed away, you know, we can't say enough about that. I mean, Freddie, the person, aside from the baseball players, is just an incredible human being. Like, he is very genuine, and he's everything you see. Like, I can't say enough about him. He's such a good person, and you know, he will always wear the Team Canada jersey as long as he wants to, and I think that's still where his head is and where his mind is, and obviously we're more than happy to have him. He's, you know, the anchor of our lineup, but you know, I could go on all night about Freddie Freeman and what kind of person he is.
Have you tried to negotiate with Vladdy, who was born in Montreal, to play for Canada at
all?
There
you go.
Is that...
Listen, we've had that talk internally. We would love to add that one too, but you know, he's got some strong ties to the Dominican. So, you know, listen, we would love, that'd be quite the combo. If you could have Vladdy and Freddie, or Freddie and Vladdy in your lineup, that'd be a pretty good punch.
How does Canada stack up internationally right now, Jason?
You know what? I think when we get to, from a WBC perspective, you know, I think when you start to lay those lineups out on paper, you know, we're in pretty good shape. And the challenge that we always have year to year, like I said, is with, you know, maybe not as many guys in the big leagues. You know, if you start to have some guys that are maybe coming off of surgery or not quite healthy, or, you know, not quite ready to play, our depth always seems to be the challenge. You know, if you're Team USA, you just replace a number one starter with a number one starter. But, you know, for us, if we lose a guy or two in a certain key spot, it's our depth that, you know, gets a little bit of a challenge for us. But, you know, I like our chances. We compete well. The guys love to wear the Canadian jersey and understand what the purpose is. And you know, it seems to be one of those things that it's a little bit contagious and having guys overperform maybe than what they normally are. And I always like our chances. We're scrappy. We're who we are as being Canadian. And excited for another WBC coming up this year.
Well, finally, Jason, break it down a little bit. What do you think we're about to see in the World Series with the Dodgers and the Blue Jays?
And you don't have to be a homer. You can tell us straight goods. Well,
I try to be as honest as I can. I mean, there's no doubt the Dodgers at the star-studded lineup, and I'm always pitcher. I'm probably pitcher biased, and you guys were talking about that starting lineup, and then the flip side of that is, you know, obviously Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts, and arguably maybe the best player we'll ever see play the game in Ohtani. But you know, the Jays, I mean, they're on a little bit of a hot streak. They play well together. They're playing for each other. They're scrappy. They're, you know, the number of come from behind wins is, you know, been a lot this year, and you've seen it happen in game seven. So they're not afraid to maybe take that first punch and kind of rebound. But they've got their hands full, there's no doubt. But I will be a homer and really be rooting for them. I'd love to see the Jays win the World Series, but there's no doubt that they're going to have a challenge. And I mean, this is what you get, I guess, when you get to the World Series, right? These are the two best teams, and I'm just excited. I hope it's a good series. I think everyone hopes it's a good series, and we want to see the two best go toe to toe.
Well, Jace, I was just going through the holy bleep moment for Trey Savage. You get Shohei Ohtani first up, but am I? I want to make sure. Was Derek Jeter the first batter you ever faced?
You got us. Yeah, it was.
That kind of sets a tone, eh?
It was a little bit, yeah. I mean, hopefully Savage is a little bit better. My first pitch to Jeter, or my first big league pitch, ended up into the stands as a home run. So hopefully Savage's AB against Ohtani's a little bit better.
But you got the W. That was the important thing.
You know what? That is the most important thing. It's not how you get there, as long as you get there. So we did get the W, a lot of memories about that. When I tell that story a lot, you know, that was a Yankee lineup that was pretty star-studded, and I got to be honest, Jeter was the least of my concerns hitting in the leadoff spot that year with, you know, Boggs and Strawberry and all those other all-stars behind him. Not that I overlooked Jeter, but he just, you know, he was still trying to make his way as well.
Right on. Jason, thank you so much for joining us once again here on the Blue Zone on a game one, a game day for the Blue Jays and the Dodgers. And we'll have to have you back again soon.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. Take care, guys.
Thank you very much. That is Jason Dixon. He's the CEO of Baseball Canada, former major league pitcher.
Can you imagine the first pitch you throw, Jeter punches it into the stands?
You'd be thinking, it's the only run he gave up. That's it. He settled right. Only run he gave up that day against in Yankee Stadium. First game of your career.
I have anxiety thinking about it. And I wasn't even there.
That was it. Got the win. Yankee Stadium. That's all that's important. This is 980 CJME and awesome. 650 CKOM. Damian Locker with you as the Green Zone turns to blue for the World Series, the Jays and the Dodgers. It is game one tonight. You'll hear it live on CJME and CKOM coming up at 6 o'clock. We are still asking, and please do send in your favorite Blue Jay memories. Just record it into your phone. Send us a voice note through text 1-877-332-8255, and we'll enter you into a draw to win the VIP table for our watch party and a $100 tab.
That's a nice little tab. $100.
The watch party in Regina.
You and a
on
couple
Monday.
Of buddies, you're taken care of. That's your night right there.
Deb had a story for us.
Back in 2015, my two sisters and my brother-in-law, we went to three games in Toronto. And the first game, we had crappy seats, so we decided to go to the WestJet flight deck. And midway through the game, all of a sudden, Josh Donaldson hits a home run, and it's coming right at me. And I think I'm going to catch it. And then at the last second, it tails to the right. And I was disappointed. But the fellow and his son that caught it were actually from Saskatchewan. So that was cool, and we got our picture with them.
Deb, thanks for the story. Favorite Blue Jay memories. Send us a little voice.
Deb, note. You're in the draw.
Through the text, 1-877-332-8255. Maybe it'll be you able to join us with a $100 tab and a VIP table. It is Boston Pizza, a Starlight location, Vic East in Regina for Game 3 on Monday. Of course, there's a lot more going on in sports, including a big NFL game on Sunday as Aaron Rodgers, and the Pittsburgh Steelers will take on his former team, the Green Bay Packers. And you know someone who's going to the game. Trust me, you do. You've been listening to this radio station for a while. You know John Gormley is a big Packers fan, and he is going to be at the game. I need to know if he's wearing a cheese head. But is this just a happy coincidence, John, or did you get tickets right when you found out that it was going to be Rodgers against your Packers?
It couldn't have been more perfect, because we were looking at trying to get to a city we've never been to before, and a lot of people rave about Pittsburgh, you know, and I don't know much about it. We just did a tour, an amazing city. So we wanted, of course, legends of the Steelers and all else. So I thought, heck, let's go to a Packers road game in Pittsburgh, you know, spend a few days doing some sightseeing. And then in the middle of the booking, they announced the signing of Aaron Rodgers. So I thought, okay, this is an absolute go-to game.
So when you're wandering around Pittsburgh with your cheesehead hat on, what kind of looks are you getting?
I'll tell you, the Packers nation travels well. I spent the morning today with almost all Packers fans on a tour bus. But the best line ever is a young Mormon kid is out working the streets in the little marketplace we're in. Packers fan walks up and says, "Do you believe in the Packers?" No, it's just good natured, you know, NFL rivalry. You have lots of people wearing Steelers jerseys, but the Packer nation is pretty well represented.
But did you pack your cheese head for this trip, John?
I might have told you, she comes to games with me on one condition. This is my wife, Marie. You will not wear a cheese head.
That's fair. John, what do you like about this Packers team this year?
You know, I'm a big defense guy, and of course the signing of Micah Parsons was huge. You know, I think more than anything, and this just sort of foreshadows or reflects the life of Aaron Rodgers. You know, you remember when they signed Rodgers, you thought, you know, who is this guy? Can he ever be a quarterback? And of course, 14, 16 seasons later, you know, did pretty darn well. The story of Jordan Love, you know, when they signed Jordan Love, that was the beginning of the end, I think, for Aaron Rodgers, at least his confidence in the team. You know, in the first few years, I watched Love and I thought, you know, has this guy got what it takes? And right now, I mean, he's playing like an NFL quarterback. So there's some weaknesses a little bit. I mean, I'm not wild about the defensive secondary at the moment. Josh Jacobs in the running game has been fantastic. So this is a Packers team that I think, you know, could put it together at the right time.
It's a game of the week for the National Football League. Aaron Rodgers against the Green Bay Packers. John Gormley's there to watch it play out. Aaron Rodgers said earlier this week, this isn't a revenge game. He holds and doesn't hold any animosity towards the Packers. Do you believe a word that comes out of his mouth when he says this isn't going to be a revenge game for Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I don't know. You know, can anybody high performing not have a little bit of revenge? But it was funny. I was sitting having a cup of coffee this morning, and a woman walks up, and she's got Packers gear on. And she said, what are you going to be wearing at the game? And I said, I got my Aaron Rodgers number 12 Packers jersey. She said, so do I. She said, I still wear it. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people, I think, like us, going to be at the game thinking, this will be cool. It's Aaron Rodgers. And, I mean, you look at what are they at right now, 4-2. They're well nicely leading the AFC North. I mean, this is, you know, he's put together a pretty good Steelers team this year.
So my hypothetical, and you kind of already answered it, was so the airline loses your luggage and you need to borrow a Packers jersey, John, for the game, and you have to pick one. You got a number 4, Brett Favre, or you got a number 12, Aaron Rodgers. You're taking the Aaron Rodgers into the stadium with you.
Yeah, I am. And I've actually got it with me, and I was just shopping it around because, of course, you know, the weather here is nice, probably about, you know, 8 to 10 degrees Celsius at home. But, you know, I'm going to need to put something under it because you want to be warm. So, yeah, I was just checking out number 12, and I think there'll be a lot of them in the stands.
So you're not a Rodgers hater then? You're not going to be booing Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh on Sunday?
Absolutely not. You know, I'm not a total fanboy because I think, like a lot of us, we got a little tired near the end. But, you know, I don't know if you watched that Netflix piece on Aaron Rodgers where he's sitting on the private jet doing mathematical algorithms.
Yeah.
He's doing square roots. I mean, this is a guy who is, you know, at a genius level, like so many quarterbacks are. I mean, you can't, you know, play three-dimensional chess like the average, you know, high-performing quarterback does without being a different kind of cat. So, you know, I'm a big fan of what he's brought to the game and to the team over the years. And, you know, it'll just be fun to watch him play.
Are you surprised at the success that he's having in Pittsburgh right now? Because I wasn't sure what that was going to look like.
I'm with you. Exactly the same thought. I mean, you know, you watch the really tough couple of years with the Jets. You know, and of course the bad luck of the Achilles the first year, but you know, even last year with the Jets, I mean, I saw their last game where, you know, he was tossing the ball and doing it, you know, so well to Davante Adams, and it actually looked like, you know, maybe there was some magic there, but you know, he has not had a good couple of years. So I watched the first Steelers game this year and thought he put together a really, really good offense.
John Gormley with us. Of course, another big sporting story, John, is the Blue Jays. Are there any have you noticed any Canadians in Pittsburgh who are?
Yeah,
because I know there's a lot of Packer fans in Canada, in the Toronto area. Are they down for the game wearing their Blue Jays lids around town?
Didn't see too much. I did see a Blue Jays lid a bit earlier today. I don't know who was wearing it. I assume he must have been a Canadian. But yeah, that's the other thing. Of course, we're all going to be pretty engaged. What's the general sense? I mean, you look at this L.A. team, gosh, pretty hard to beat. And, you know, what's his name the other night with, 10 strikeouts and 3 homers?
Yeah, Otani.
You know, Otani, I don't know. But what do you think? Have the Jays got a chance?
No, I don't think so. But this is a trend for me, John. I've said they're done for a month, and they keep winning. So I think that's good news for the Blue Jays that I don't think they win the World Series.
Take the weird nigh math out of it. I think the team is going to surprise a lot of people. I still think that both Jamie and I have the Dodgers winning, but I don't think it's going to be a walk in the park for the Dodgers. I think this is a scrappy team, and I think they're going to catch the Dodgers by surprise, at least in the first couple.
I hope so. You know, when you look at the team Schneider's put together, and I mean, and he's also traded pretty well on that "we're all in this together" underdog thing, which,
yeah,
you know, which great coaches and managers do. So, yeah, I'm with you. Statistically, I don't like the way this is going to end, but heck, wouldn't it be good to see a good scrap on the way?
I know, John. I think you were just graduating the College of Law in '92. Were you on 8th Street flipping cars after the World Series in '92, '93?
Actually, it's funny. I said this to Marie. I wasn't doing that, but I remember, as a family, we had just moved to Edmonton, and, you know, we always had a rule, A, you know, we all got to eat together every night, B, no TV. And I remember, like, yesterday, wheeling a TV in so we could we could see it
breaking from rules.
The dining room table, and we watched every single Jays game, and my girls were just little. They, of course, are now, you know, all grown up as moms, but I remember just going crazy, and it feels like yesterday.
John, so you're in Pittsburgh, and it's not just, you know, you're doing other things. You're there for a couple of days. Have you been to, like, a restaurant or a bar that you would recommend for anybody that hasn't been to Pittsburgh to look into if they ever end up down there?
Well, we're going tonight, actually. Some friends of ours in Pittsburgh, we're going to Eddie V's, which is right downtown on Grant Street.
Okay.
And it's a seafood place, and it's an amazing restaurant. But we've been... you know, Pittsburgh's a pretty cool city.
Yeah.
Of course, the confluence of the three rivers. So it's not, I mean, there's downtown, but there's the north side, the south side. We're over on the south side, just overlooking the Monongahela River. And it's just a really, really cool area. We've had a lot of fun.
Okay, final. We need a prediction for Sunday. What do you got? Packers, Steelers, John?
I got Packers, of course. But of course, the way the Packers have won the four games so far this year,
you know, close.
It's always been down to the last second. So who knows? But I have the Packers, but probably by three.
All right, John, enjoy the game. Thanks for your time. Lovely chatting with you again. And
well, always good reconnecting with you guys. And thanks so much.
That is John Gormley. He'll be cheering on his Packers. No cheesehead, apparently. Marie kiboshes that, which is probably for the best. I don't know if I could handle John Gormley wearing a cheese head, though. I'd love to see it. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone.
I could do it.
We're asking you to share your favorite Blue Jays moments, stories. What are they? All you have to do is record it into a text message to us. And yes, you can do voice memos in those texts at 1-877-332-8255
and we're starting to roll in here, Jamie.
Our way. And you
voice text though, everybody. Voice text.
If you do it, you get your name in the draw to join us potentially with the VIP table and $100 tab at Boston Pizza, Vic East location, Starlight Drive in Regina for game 3 Monday for the Jays and the Dodgers in the World Series. Also, how do you think the Jays are going to do? Let us know now. 1-877-332-8255. That is the text line to send in those voice memos or give us a ring and give us your prediction for the World Series on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie Locker with you. We are asking you to send in some of your favorite Jays memories. All you have to do is record yourself into a voice memo. Text it to us, 1-877-332-8255. Just like Sean and Pilot Butte.
I was watching Game 7, Mariners and Jays, and while I was in the field cutting down our pastures, and I was like, uh-oh, Springer's up. This is our only hope we have left. Springer hit his dinger. Next thing I know is I got all excited there. I'm yelling and screaming and forgot what I was doing there for a split second. And next thing I know is I put the tractor right through the fence. So, yeah, so now because of the Springer dinger, I got to... fix fence this weekend.
There you go.
It can be a new experience, too.
That's a new one, Sean. That's a new one. Yeah. You're in the draw to win the VIP table and a $100 tab at Boston Pizza for our watch party at Vic East to Regina on Monday.
Hit the little microphone on your text machine there and send us a voice text.